Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Is it cold enough out there for you? You think? You know, every time I feel like complaining about the cold weather, I remember what's coming. I know that May and June and July and August are coming. A man broke into a home with the intent of burglarizing the home and stealing it. As he was walking through the living room area, he heard a voice say, "Jesus is watching you." And he stopped. He thought, "Well, maybe I'm hearing things." And he kept going and he heard the voice again. It said, "Jesus is watching you." He's like, "What?" And he heard the voice the third time. "Jesus is watching you." Finally, he's cut the light on. He's looking around. And over in the corner was this big parrot. He said, "Was that you?" Parrot said, "Yep." He said, "Great." Said, "What's your name? Polly? Like Polly want a cracker?" Parrot said, "Nope. Name's Moses." He says, "Moses? What kind of moron would name a parrot Moses?" Parrot shot back, "Same kind of moron that named his Rottweiler Jesus. Sick him, Jesus." By the way, "sick him, Jesus" is not a prayer. If you're praying that for people, don't do it. Don't do it. We've been talking about the prayer of Jabez. I'm going to wrap it this morning simply because next week, as we have people coming in, they'll not be up to date on the, especially guests coming in, they won't be as up to date on the series. But let's look at this prayer again. It's a great prayer for 2006, and we'll talk about some different aspects of it. It's a great prayer to pray, and those bookmarks are out there, but I want you really to see this prayer as a prayer pattern. So once again, let's go over it. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. It said, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called on the God of Israel," it's prayer, "saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." We've talked about different aspects of this prayer, how you can pray this for yourself and you can pray it as a pattern. I think the first one is, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." That I, in other words, when I pray this, "Lord, that I might receive all the blessings that you have for me." Some I don't even know. I'm not dictating what they are. I'm just saying, "Lord, that I might receive the blessings that you have for me in my life and that I might be a blessing." So one thing about this prayer we have to understand, it's not a selfish prayer. We're not praying, "Oh, God, that you bless me and my four and no more." This is, "God, that you would bless me that I might be a blessing." And then we prayed and talked about last week, we talked about where he prayed, "Enlarge my territory." Now you're thinking, I don't want any more land, but territory can mean different things. And so maybe it's another job, maybe it's a better job, maybe it's a promotion, maybe it's a leadership opportunity, maybe it's something where you actually are having more responsibility. And so that's a great way to pray. Lord, if you're praying for more, understand it comes with more responsibility. Then there's a prayer that I think all of us can pray, and that's, "Lord, that you would increase my influence for you, that I would be more of an ambassador for Christ, that I would be more of an influence, that I could reach more." Joy and I have really started praying, and we're praying for different people, and we pray for you, but we get together and we also pray for our neighborhood. And I'm praying that God would increase our influence in our neighborhood, that we have neighbors that we can reach for Christ. And so, "Lord, increase my influence." Here's something good. I heard a minister say this, and I'm going to steal it because I think it's a great idea. He said, when you're out and about and you see someone, sometimes the tendency is to go, "Oh, look at them," or "What's wrong with them?" But a lot of times when you see people, maybe they're hurting or maybe they're going through a difficult time, instead of judging, just pray for them. "Lord, help them. They seem sad. Help them." And what that does is it makes you more sensitive to the needs of people. It may even give you an opportunity to talk to them, to encourage them. "Hey, listen, there's a lot of takers in the world. We need a bunch of givers who can be a blessing. And then there's another thing. Pray, Lord, that you would enlarge my, and this is a big one for me, Lord, that you would enlarge my heart. That you would enlarge my heart. The psalmist said, I will run the way of your commandments because you'll enlarge my heart. In other words, that I can become bigger on the inside, that I might be more Christ-like. My pastor was John Osteen, and he's Joel's father, but John Osteen was about, he said he was 5'6" and a half. He might have been stretching it, but he would always say, and I believed him, he said, I may be 5'6" and a half. He said, but I'm 10 feet tall on the inside. In other words, you could be bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And so it's, Lord, enlarge my heart. Let me be more for you. And then, Lord, enlarge my vision. Let me see more for you. I had some business owners that came to me last week, and they're like, oh, man, now you said that prayer. Now I may have to pray, Lord, enlarge my vision. Sometimes you can get so comfortable, but when you start praying, enlarge my vision, there may be more that God has for you. And so you want to begin to pray that. It's a good prayer. Now, here's the one we want to talk about today. When Jabez said that your hand would be with me. So let's talk about that and really some applications. There's a couple of applications we can run with on that. The first one is that God's hand is often representative of God's power. God, that your power would be with me. In other words, Lord, I need your ability and your power to do what you've called me to do. Now, I can tell you, that one, that's a prayer that is so real to me. When we started the church, it'll be 30 years ago in June when we started the church, we started with 27 people, and we had a little Montessori center area, and we cleared out the room. I think we had 50 chairs in the room. We didn't have live worship for the first 2 years. And so, man, we needed help. We didn't have a good place. No one knew who we were. We got all those things going on. But can I tell you this? If God's hand is with you, it doesn't matter how you start. It matters what He can do. And God has been with us. And God has helped us. And we're still viable, still going. Joy and I still love one another. We still love you. This is good. God's hand. God, we need your hand to do what you've called us to do. But here's the one I want to talk about this morning, that we would see an increased awareness of God's presence and power in our lives. That we would see, and we're praying that your hand would be with me. We're going to shift that. Lord, that I might see what's already available to me. What is already there. So we're praying this prayer in light of the New Testament, in light of what Jesus has done. And so we begin to pray, Lord, that I might see your power and your presence that's already there and already with me. There's a great prayer. Paul prayed those prayers, and he prayed it for the church. If you'll notice the prayers, it's in Ephesians 1 and 3, chapters 1 and 3. It's in Colossians chapter 1. You see Paul praying, and a lot of times what he's praying for is not that they would be something, it's that they would see something. That God show them what you've done for them already. Now, look at this verse here in Ephesians. This is one of the prayers. This is out of the New Living Translation. Paul said, I also pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. Anybody believe Him? Yes. Well, there's great power available for us. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Man, there's a whole lot in that. That's resurrection power. That's a lot of power. Paul said, I pray that you would see it, that you would understand it, that you would become aware of it. Because when you become aware of it, things begin to change. This April, Joy and I will celebrate 44 years of marriage to each other. And so, I had to throw that in there. Some people say, I've been married for 50 years, about three different times. And so, we've been married to each other for 44, which is really good. And if you knew how we started, you would give us a standing ovation, but let's pop a... The day after we were married, we were on a flight out of Intercontinental Airport. We were headed on, an Aeromexico flight. Anybody remember Aeromexico? Whew, that was an airline. So we were on that one, and we were getting ready to go. Joy's at the airport. We've been married a day. And Joy is trying to buy something at the at the counter there, and she has the items out, and she doesn't have enough money. And I see her, and she's just kind of digging around. She's starting to get flustered. She's digging around in her purse, and she thinks she's going to have to put some of the stuff back because she didn't have the money. And in her words, she said, all of a sudden, a hand came over her shoulder with bills in it, dollar bills. That was me. Did. And paid for everything. And Joy said, I had a revelation. I'm married. Now it's not just me, it's him. I got him involved in this. She has no problem with that today. Now she had none. But she wasn't aware, it was so new, she wasn't aware of that relationship. She wasn't aware that we were married, so she wasn't looking for it. She wasn't depending on it. Guys, when you find out the relationship you have with God and the power and His presence in your life that's already available, then you start looking for it. Then it becomes real. That's a good thing. So let me talk about a prayer this morning that came out of the Old Testament. It's a prayer of awareness. It's for Elisha. Elisha was a prophet. In the Old Testament, there were only really three groups that had God's Holy Spirit on them, anointed them. That's the term anointed. Spirit on them. It was the prophet, the priest, and the king. The prophet would speak for God, the priest would minister to God, and the king would lead. And Elisha was a prophet, a very famous one, and we'll read his story right here. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which one of you is a traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord the king, one of his officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes and he looked up and he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Elisha knew the plans of the enemy and would tell them to the king of Israel. Say, oh, wow, was Elisha a psychic? No, Elisha was not a psychic. Elisha was equipped by the Holy Spirit who knows everything. And the Holy Spirit would tell him and he would tell the king. He knows the enemy's plans. Now you might be thinking, man, that would be great. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that? Hey, got good news for you. According to Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit living within you. Listen, you've got that same Holy Spirit that was on Elisha. You've got Him living in you if you belong to the Lord. So don't feel like, oh, I wish I was back in that day. You're in a better day. So take that better day. But they knew the plans, knew the enemy's plans. And Elisha, it looked like his trouble. He's surrounded. Servant goes out in the morning. He's getting water to make coffee. And he looks up and the whole area is just, he's surrounded. That's a bad feeling. You got chariots and horses, and they're stomping, and you could see them. And man, you're thinking, uh-oh, we are in trouble. And he's thinking he's in trouble, and he's coming back in. It looked like he was in trouble, and he's telling Elisha we're in trouble. And Elisha was real cool. Elisha was calm because Elisha knew that God's protection was there. See, the young man didn't. He's just looking for what he can see, and he's like, We're in trouble. We're surrounded. We don't know what to do. What shall we do? Well, that's the cry of humanity, isn't it? What shall we do now? We don't know. We're flustered. We're surrounded. We're just in trouble. What do we do now? And Elisha said, no, there's more on our side than there are on their side. And I'm sure the guy's looking at Elisha going, the math isn't working here. I see me, I see you. I see me, I see you. Any way I cut this, there's two of us. We're surrounded. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. He didn't pray, oh God, send help. Oh Lord, send us help. We need help. He said, Lord, open his eyes, the servant's eyes, so he can see the help that's already there. There was already presence and protection there. He said, just show him what's there, Lord. See, Elisha's not afraid because he knew God was with him. He knew God would protect him. But the servant was afraid because of everything he saw. So Elisha said, open his eyes so he can see. And when his eyes were open, he saw those horses and chariots of fire. I'm sure he went, okay. Because I don't know about you, but I'll take a horse and chariot of fire over a regular horse anytime. That's a spooky thing right there. That's tough. And we got something bigger and better on our side. So here's the prayer. When we begin to pray, this prayer, we're praying for an increased awareness. Increased awareness, Father, that I might know about your presence and your power that's available to me, that's there with me already. Lord, that I might see it. See, when you see it, things begin to change. I was in outside sales for a number of years, and back in the 80s, I had some territory that went around Bay City and Wharton and El Campo. And so I would travel and spend the night down in Wharton and travel on those areas. And so one night I'm coming back to my hotel and I'm hungry, so I stop in for some health food at Wendy's. Because Wendy's has those Frosties. God bless the man that came up with the Frosty. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get a Frosty. And so I ordered a double cheeseburger, a large Frosty, and some fries. Those days are over. They're gone. They're not coming back. And I pulled around to the window, and I looked in my wallet. I had no money in my wallet. Now, I know some of you are running, well, you just pay with your phone, dude. Because there was a time in America when fast food places only took cash. And so I tried to get it off my looks. That didn't work. And so I had to look at them and go, hey, I'm sorry. I don't have any money. And I scooted out of the drive-thru and went back to my hotel hungry. When I'm in the hotel and I'm working through my wallet to catch receipts and things, I found that in my wallet I had a secret compartment. It was so secret, I forgot about it. I had $20 in that secret compartment. I could have had, you talk about the 80s, I could have eaten big. Triple burger, we could have gone big. But I didn't know that I had it. And because I didn't know that I had it, it wasn't available to me. I never depended on it. I didn't use it. Listen, this is what I'm talking about. When you know what you have, when you know what's available to you, when you're not trying to get God to show up, when you're not trying to get God to be with you, when you find out He already is, it changes things. Then you're not begging, you're not floundering, you're not surrounded. So let me show you some things we want to talk about here. Three things here. First one is this. God has promised you. Let's look at what God has promised you. Here's the first one. God has promised you that He is for you. He's for you. You ever had someone that was for you? I mean, there's someone who believed in you and someone who was that you didn't have to look behind to wonder if they're there. You just knew they were for you. And that was such an encouragement. Thank God for the people that are for you. Well, a lot of people think, well, yeah, Alan, but I don't know if that God is really for me. I mean, I've kind of been not so good. And yet He said He was for you. Look what it says here in Romans again. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these, talking about what God has done for us in Christ? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Guys, we have to understand that if God is for us, Who really can be against us? I can remember when we started the church, we had grown to 98 people. And Pastor Osteen, John Osteen, and Dodie had us and a few other ministries that had come out of Lakewood, had us come down for a dinner in the gallery area. And so Joy and I went, and Pastor Osteen looked at me. He said, "Alan," he said, "how are you doing?" I said, "Pastor, we got 98 people." He said, "That's so good." And I realized that man was for me. I had a chance to go see him 2 weeks before he died. I was sitting in the service, and he sees me in the service, and he said, "Alan, stand up." He said, "How's the church doing? How many do you have?" About that time, we were running 1,000 people. He said, 1,000. He had me stand up 3 different times to encourage me. He was for me. Man, it makes a difference when you know somebody is for you. Well, if my pastor was for me, and by the way, I'm for you, God is for you even more than I'm for you. And if you believe He is for you, you don't have to beg God. He's already got your picture in His wallet. When He pulls out His iPhone, there's your picture. It shows up. He's for you. Here's the second one. That God is with you. Well, this is the one that I think sometimes people struggle with. That God is with me. I've heard people pray, "Oh, God be with us. God be with us." He is. Look at this. Hebrews. I need to cue you better. I'm sorry. This is Hebrews. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. And this is the part I want you. For God has said, "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." So we can say with confidence, the Lord is what? My helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? The Lord is my helper. That's what Elisha knew. He knew the Lord was helping him. He knew if him and God were a majority. And yet he had all those chariots and horses of fire, but God was his helper. You say, "Yeah, but that was Elisha and he was a prophet." But this is the Lord talking to us now. He said, we can boldly say, this was written to us. This was written to believers, that he will never leave us. He will never abandon us. And we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You say, "Well, you know, I just don't feel like he is." Well, listen, we got to get past the feelings. Listen, the Bible is a spiritual book. It was written on a spiritual level that will not always impact your feelings. Thank God when it does. I love when we're worshiping or something, you can just sense and feel the presence of God. But a lot of times it's not there. But he's still there. He didn't leave. When I was, we were back in Texas back in the days when remember VHS tapes? You could tape something. This is nostalgia day. Some of you are going to have to Google this. But there was a VHS tape. You would stick it in and you could record. And I had some things to get ready for a Sunday. So a Saturday night, I'm taping a Duke game. They were getting down to the Final Four, and I taped the game. I didn't watch it. I go to church. We were doing some ministry in church there at Lakewood. And one of my friends goes, "Oh, man, aren't you glad Duke won the game?" Oh, now there's no, you ruined it. Now, you know, there's no suspense. And so he was a Duke fan also. And so I'm like, okay, I'll watch the game anyway. Well, when I'm watching the game, Duke looks like they're losing bad. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going on here? And I don't know about you, I get involved in games. I help teams. I provide coaching. I provide instructions. I provide encouragement. And sometimes I'm angry and I tell them so. I know I'm the only one. In fact, Joy loves to come upstairs where I'm watching, and she'll hear me coaching and giving instructions. And she loves to come upstairs and go, "Is your team winning?" I'm like, for you and I to stay married, you need to stay downstairs and leave me alone. So I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking, but then I kept thinking, but my friend said that Duke wins. And so it didn't look good, but my friend said that they won. But it didn't look good, and it's looking bad. And every time I'm like, I thought, but my friend said, he wouldn't lie to me, that Duke wins. So I'm cool. Stay cool for the whole game. And sure enough, they won. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you what's got to do with anything. Because sometimes in life, things don't look so good. Things don't look like God is with you. But He said He is with you. It doesn't feel like He is with you, but He said He is with you. You got to hang on till this thing comes to the end. It'll turn out for His, you're good in God's glory. So don't get so caught up with how it looks. Get caught up with what He said. And say, Lord, thank you. If you said you're with me, you are with me. We can go with that. Here's the last one. God's for us. God is with you. He is in you. God lives in you. It's one of the great things about the New Testament believers, what Jesus has done for us, and He cleansed us and made us available, that no longer is this building the temple of God. You are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. John said it this way, but you belong to God, my dear children. That's us. And you've already won a victory over those people. He's talking about people that are persecuting them, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Thank God. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, show me this year how much you are for me, how much you are with me, how much you are in me. Increasing our awareness of what we already have. And here's what happens. When that awareness begins to increase, here's the last thing. It will, an increased awareness of God's presence and power will change you. It'll change you. It'll change how you treat other people. You might be ready to do something or say something. You might be leaving the parking lot and you might get frustrated and you're about to say something or give a hand signal to one of our people out there. No one-fingered hand signals. And you're thinking, nope, the Lord's with me. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm going to treat people different. He's with me. I'm going to treat people different. And you'll treat yourself differently too. You'll treat yourself better. And the things you've been doing that you know are wrong and are toxic, it's motivation to stop, because He loves you, He's for you, He's with you, and He'll help you. There's one more thing. When you begin to have an increased awareness of God being for you and with you and in you, it will cause fear to diminish. So many people feel like in life they're surrounded and don't know what to do. But you begin to realize, no, God's for me. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You're my helper, and that you're in me by your Spirit. You're guiding me into truth. You're helping me. You're showing me things to come. You're helping me. The fear begins to diminish. I had a couple of dogs growing up. We lived out in the country, and I had a couple of dogs. One of them was a little poodle, black poodle, weighed about 15 pounds. But when we moved out to the country, we had room, and my dad wanted to have a big dog, so we had Great Danes. Ever seen a Great Dane? They're big. We had big Great Danes, big blue Great Danes. And in fact, the male we had, I could stand like this, and he was standing, his head would be right here. His chin would never touch my hand. He was just weighed about 150 pounds. He was a big dog. And they thought, those Great Danes thought, that protecting that poodle was their job in life. And so everywhere the poodle went, they went. They just followed him around. And he owned the neighborhood. 15 pounds, he would prance into another dog's yard. And those dogs would see him, and men, they would come roaring out. And the Great Dane would step up, and those dogs would be putting on brakes. And if they got into a fight, I'm telling you, I watched that Great Dane clear out about three of them. Just the dog, they were tough. And that poodle was the king. And so when the Great Danes died, the poodle spent a lot of time on the porch. He wouldn't come off the porch. All the other dogs are out in the yard going, yo, come on. And he's like, no. He was smart. He's a smart dog. He's like, no. Because he realized he didn't have the power to get it done. But when the Great Danes were with him, the Great Danes had the power to get it done. This is what I'm talking about, guys. When you begin to realize that maybe you don't feel so strong, you don't feel so powerful, you don't feel so awesome, but the God who is for you, the God who is with you, the God who is in you is strong, is powerful, is awesome. And He's the one that puts you over. He's the one that gives you success. He's the one that helps you win. One quick thing before we go. I want to encourage you to take the prayer of Jabez and write it in your own words. Write it in something that makes, that really resonates with your heart. You don't have to pray that just verbatim. You can begin to modify. Let me just give you what I did, just as an example. It's been a good prayer. I encourage you to pray this prayer this year. This is mine. Lord, that I might receive the blessings you have for me, that I might be a blessing to others, that you would enlarge my heart, that I might be more Christ-like and enlarge my vision, that I might see more of your plans and purposes for my life, that you would increase my influence for you and your kingdom. Lord, that I may have an increased awareness of you being for me and with me and in me by your Holy Spirit, and that I may know more of your power towards me. Lord, keep me from evil. When my thoughts, warn me when my thoughts are off track, and guide me into the right path so that I might be a big blessing for you. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? This morning, if you're here and say, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, I know that, or maybe you had it one time and you've gotten away from him, what a great month to come back. We're not going to have you stand or come to the front. But this prayer is for you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm only going to ask you to do one thing. If you want our prayers, if you're saying, Alan, I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium. We're not going to embarrass you in any way, but if that's you, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else just say, Alan, that's me. Would you guys pray for me? Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to if you're online. Obviously, I can't see you. But we're going to pray this prayer together, and you can pray this from the heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior. It's the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are still bowed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. And Father, thank you for those who've come back to a relationship with you and those who've received you the very first time. We rejoice with them. Wonderful things that you have for their lives. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you for an increased awareness of your presence and your power in us, for us, with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.